Well, hello, lovely people. It's Sunday and the rain has finally arrived after weeks and weeks of hot, dry weather. Here it is. We've had a couple of days of the most torrential rain, and I'm sitting more or less alone in the studio contemplating what has been a remarkable week in spite of the rain over the weekend. 7 portrait sessions, 2 reveals, 1 wedding, numerous meetings, and a degree of excitement over upcoming seminars and masterclasses. Seriously, it's been quite a week. Hi, I'm Paul Wilkinson, a professional portrait photographer and one of the happy team behind masteringportraitphotography.com, which is, if I'm honest, a glorious excuse just to create beautiful portraits and then to show how we did it. Lots of behind the scenes stuff, lots of explanations and diagrams, and we're just having a ball, loving working on this with Sarah and Matt, the happy team. And in case you're curious, we have just gone live. The website is now up on its feet. So if you head over to masteringportraitphotography.com just at the minute, you can have a browse around, you can see what we've been up to, and you never know, we might just be able to tempt you into becoming one of our happy members. Yes, all right, there is a subscription, but we're doing a new video every week. We're doing critiques regularly. There's the forum that's just full of questions and answers, and the whole place is just, well, it's just brilliant. Well, I would say that, but if you fancy heading across, go and have a look. Never know, you might just agree with us and then you become one of our members, which would be wonderful. A really good week. So what's been going on? Well, we filmed another of the Mastering Portrait Photography videos this week. So this week, 3 lads came over, 3 brothers, one who is 10 and his 2 brothers who are 6. Twin brothers who are 6. The shoot wasn't really about siblings as such. It was all about photographing kids, how to get the energy into the shoot, how to make it bubbly, how to make it bouncy, but still creating iconic, beautiful images that will keep you happy as a photographer. And if you're a professional photographer, should sell well to the parents and relatives, of course, which at the end of the day, all of this is great fun. But if it doesn't have a purpose, then as a professional photographer, at least, then you're enjoying your hobby, but you're not going to make any money from it. So the whole video is about that. We had actually originally intended to go up onto a hillside overlooking Wickham, which is, we're in the southern, sort of south central part of England in the UK. And there's a wonderful mausoleum, an old church and a mausoleum up on this hill overlooking Wickham. And if you know a photograph that I created many years ago of a little lad knocking on a huge set of doors, it's like he's knocking on the giant's castle, then this is the same family. This is George. So George is now 10. And when I shot that image, I think he was 2. I think it was about 8 years ago. And we were due to go back to the mausoleum and recreate that image. I don't think it'd be quite as dramatic now. He's nearly as tall as I am. But unfortunately, the weather forecast beat us, not the weather. The weather forecast said we're going to have torrential rain all afternoon. So we looked at the options up there and figured this is quite open. There's no shelter. And if we took 3 lads plus their family up onto the hill and tried filming in the pouring rain, it was going to be unsuccessful. So we rescheduled and brought the boys down to the garden here, Turn End Garden, down at the studio, as you do. You know, we looked at it and thought, well, we can either cancel it or we can relocate. So we relocated, and what happened? Yeah, you guessed it. Of course, the sun came out and it stayed out. In fact, it was a beautiful afternoon. You couldn't make this up. Nonetheless, it was hilarious and brilliant, brilliant shoot. Lovely to work with the boys. Loads and loads of images we've created. And the funny thing for me is I've looked at a few of the video reels. Since the shoot, and I managed to get myself bitten on the side of my face in about shot number two, and gradually it got redder and redder through the shoot, and by the end you can see my face on one side just glowing ever so slightly with whatever insect got me. And that so often happens. There's not a lot you can do about it. You're down low on the ground, and you know, what can you do? Things bite you. What else this week? A beautiful wedding reveal. Beautiful clients, just lovely. This was a Le Manoir wedding for us, and they came back to see their pictures and just had a really nice time with it. Hugely, I mean, just nice people, you know. And we've had a run of that this year. We've had just the most incredible clients. And this particular client, they left us a testimonial, which is always really lovely. And it started, Sarah stuck her head around the corner. I was actually with another client, but she stuck her head around the corner after she got this testimonial. And she said, "Paul, you're going to like this." And I'm really. And she said, it starts off with, and I quote, "We did not intend to use the services of a professional photographer. And in the end, we didn't." When you hear that as an opening line, it doesn't fill you with confidence. However, it went on to say, "We chose a friendly genius with a lens. Our wedding will now last forever in our minds and in images." So it goes on to talk about what it was like working with me and the team here, what the images are like, and of course, how much they enjoyed it. And I take a huge, huge amount of a compliment from that. Not really about whether the images were wonderful or not, but about the fact that they loved it, about the fact that they enjoyed it, about the fact that the work myself and Sarah and the team here did was part of their wedding day. And if you're going to go into wedding photography, which is not entirely portrait photography, it is the way we approach it, but not for everyone. Some people like the big fashion-y wedding images. For me, it's mostly about portraits at a wedding, which is why we talk about it when I'm talking about mastering portrait photography, talk about it in the same breath. If you go about it the right way, you become an addition to the wedding. You become part of it. You're part of what is an experience as much as you are recording the day and creating images for posterity. And of course, once those images are in one of our beautiful albums, and everything we do with weddings goes into an album, we do provide files as part of that, but they must have an album. If we have clients come to us and ask if we'll do their wedding and it does not include an album, unless it's a wedding we're shooting abroad or a client who lives abroad, then there almost always must be an album, because of course an album will live forever, and I'm acutely aware that files don't. I've got racks and racks of files sitting on floppy disks from my days as an industrial designer back in the late 80s, early 90s. Can't read them. I've got no way of reading them. I have tried, but I can assume that those discs are obsolete, and I'm going to have to get a few files off the CDs we have as well, because at some point they're also going to become obsolete. We've also had, what have we had here? Seven portrait sessions, which run from headshots to combined families of a dozen people or more. And that culminated in today. I've actually had two portrait shoots today, both with a dozen people. And I looked at the forecast this morning, or myself and Sarah looked at the forecast this morning, and it said, again, 98% chance of 7 millimetres of rain. Now, that's quite a lot of rain to have during a day around here, and 98% chance means they're pretty certain it's going to absolutely hoof it down and I'm going to get wet. But there was nothing I could do. Both the shoots were here in the village, but they had families coming in from all corners to do combined family photography. They wanted shots of cousins and kids. Coincidentally, both shoots the same kind of setup, both that involved travel, both that involved timings that I couldn't change, and so I had no choice but to persevere. So out I went, and what happened? It stayed dry. This morning's shoot was sunny. You couldn't make it up. Honestly, we had a little bit of drizzle, but then it broke and the sun came out, and that was that. And I'm thinking, oh, that's good. Dodged one bullet. Let's see how we go this afternoon. And although the rain did come a little bit in the gap between, the weather was great. The light was beautiful. The families were perfect. And I have got shots that I just love. So I dodged the bullet, and just goes to show sometimes it's better to have a lucky photographer than a good one. I like to think I'm good too, but luck plays a really key role in my life. You know how it is. I just believe in it. I believe that things happen. Go for it. See how it goes. And today, well, today at least, I've been incredibly lucky. This week, we also spent quite a long morning actually going through some retouch notes with a client. Now, this was a wedding client, and they, or the bride at least, wanted me to go through, must be about 60 or 70 different images and retouch. And of course, that's quite something. It's a big piece of work, and I have a bit of a love-hate relationship with retouching. Now, if you know me and know my work, then you'll know that nearly everything that comes through here has some degree of photoshopping on it. They're very rarely raw images, straight out of camera, straight out of Lightroom, spat straight out. Very occasionally, but not that often. I like to get in there. I like to look at the image. I like to make sure it's color balanced. And where appropriate, I will retouch a little bit. But what she was asking were actually quite fundamental bits of work on backgrounds and on walls that were there, on signage in a church. And those of you who've ever photographed in a church know that these days there's signage everywhere. And this particular church had it in all the wrong places. Really, honestly, people who look after churches, I think it would be a good idea to sit down with a wedding photographer occasionally and just say, this notice board we've stuck here, does that work for you? Because honestly, when you're doing a wedding and people are paying the church a lot of money to have a wedding in there, it would be really nice if you could do it with at least one clean background. There's an angle where you could get a clean background. And those of you who shoot weddings know exactly what I'm talking about. However, we went through all of the images and I can see some of the things we're going to have to retouch because it really will lift the image just that little bit. But much of it we won't. These days, it's an absolute core part of everything we do. And at the end of the day, of course, these images form part of a lifetime memory. Once they're in that printed wedding album, and every one of, I've said before, every one of our weddings is put into a printed album because we want those images to last a lifetime. So it's worth me doing the extra bit of work. We'll have a happy client, and of course the images will be that much better for it. We also did Hearing Dogs shoot 280. That's a lot of shoots. That's 280, and I think on average we shoot between, oh, I don't know, but that's 8 and 12 dogs a shoot, which probably means we're around about 2,500 dogs we photographed with the Hearing Dogs over the time I've been there, which is quite a lot. And many of you will have seen on the post I put up this week on Instagram, we photographed a beautiful black Labrador called Forest in amongst that. Now, he's one of their sponsor dogs. Now, if you fancy supporting a wonderful charity, then, of course, go over to hearingdogs.co.uk or hearingdogs.org.uk. I can't remember which. And there are opportunities to sponsor these dogs. And Forest is one of the dogs we've been tracking his progress through from being an eight-week-old puppy all the way through to, he's now a full-grown Labrador and just coming to the end of his training. And we photographed him as a black lab, and we photographed him against a black background. And these images always, always get more likes than anything else I post on Instagram. And of course, I think there's a multiple reasons for that. I think they're quite striking because it's a black dog and a black background. I'm quite picky about the lighting I use. So they do, the lighting we're using is very careful so that the light in the eyes is just perfect. But the rest of the shape of the fur is in there, even though it's against a black background. But it's subtle and it's careful. And also there's the anthropomorphic part of photographing dogs is crucial. So if any of you are listening to this and you're thinking about going into pet photography, seriously, you must think, particularly with dogs and I think horses, people have a close bond with these animals and they see in them human characteristics, which is what the term anthropomorphic means. So if you can make the face of the dog look friendly or fierce or approachable or sad or very, you know, human words, then of course people engage with those images in a way that they wouldn't if they're just flat and the ears, the dog's ears, for instance, are back a little bit. You don't really want a dog to look, and I quote, fearful. Now, some dogs, some breeds, things like Whippets, they tend to have their ears back. Normally, they always tend to look scared. But in fact, if you're the owner, you know they're not. But if you want images that sell really well, it's a good idea to get the hang of making them look as human as you can, because it really, really adds to the value of the image. Which is a key to it if you're a professional photographer. Right, so topics. What did I want to talk about this week? Okay, well, let's start with this first one, which is a question that was sent in by one of the subscribers on masteringportraitphotography.com. And he says in an email, broadly speaking, how did I become a trainer? When did I know I was going to be a trainer? And it made me laugh because as of this point, I didn't know I was. I am still very much a full-time professional, passionate professional portrait photographer who has extended what we do here to try and illustrate the techniques that we use here, try and show how easy some of it is and how, although it can appear difficult sometimes, how with careful thought and careful arrangement, you can create these images consistently. And of course, as a portrait photographer, your job is to do this every day. I was laughing with someone this morning who, the shoot I did this morning, I'd been there. The first time I photographed them as a family, the same 12 or 10 people, was 10 years ago. And I said, oh, it's, you know, it's nice to be back. And I can't remember what else I said. But the client said, yes, he said, the first time you weren't famous, but this time you're famous. And I laughed. I said, well, not really. All I do every day is still take the same portrait. So you've paid me not because of my name, but because you're wishing for more family pictures, the same kind of stuff I've been doing throughout my career. You're still looking for the laughter and the emotion and all of the things I've always done. And he kind of laughed back. He said, yeah, of course I am. And it was funny. But the point is quite a serious one, which is when you're working with a client, when you're creating portraits for a client, one of the key things is you must be consistent. So there are tools underlying that as to how you go about it, your understanding of light, of framing, of emotion, of engagement, of the experience, as I said earlier about the wedding photography. All of these are the key components that help you create pictures that your clients are going to love at the end of the day. That's what you do. That's what you do every day and have to do it every day. You can't ever have an off day. You have to have every day has to be a good day. It has to be a top day. It has to be you at 100% because your client is paying you for that. Now that actually can be quite tricky. I mean, this morning, you know, when you get up early and you come down the studio and you pick up the cameras and you put together your bag and check everything and make sure everything's clean and you're still early. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm tired. You know, I shot a wedding yesterday. I'm tired. And it's hard work. But the minute you walk in the door, the minute the client opens the door, you have to be you. You on a 10, you at 100%, you flat out, because every single client deserves that. Every single client is paying the same money. And I still do that. I still love that. That is, for me, the job. However, what has happened over the years is as I've been asked to talk more and more in seminars and in workshops and at camera clubs and with the associations and at schools and scouts and, well, you name it, actually my enthusiasm for it has grown even more. I absolutely love talking about it. I love illustrating how we do this. I love going into a situation and saying, right, give me a face and I'll show you how to photograph it. There's something hugely exhilarating about that. And that really is if I have become at all someone who is associated with the learning side of this business, it's entirely because I've been asked to do it in front of crowds of people. I don't know if I'm a trainer. I don't know if I'm any good at as an educator. Who knows? Only the people who've been to us can tell you that. What I do know is I absolutely adore it. And one of my favorite things, and we did this just over a week ago, a girl called Molly came in for her 16th birthday. It was a gift from her parents to spend the day at the studio creating images and talking about camera technique. She's absolutely lovely. And we had the nicest possible email back from her a couple of days later about how much she'd enjoyed it, how much the whole of my team had made her welcome here, how the experience of going through and analysing the images and understanding in a more complete way how her camera works, how lens choice works, how to read light, means that already not just does she think her photography has improved, but, and this is really key, she's more enthusiastic and more excited about it than ever. And that actually is the most important bit, because if you're excited and enthusiastic and driven to create images, then oh my goodness, is that going to drive your photography? That really is going to make your photography better and better and better, because the more you love it, the more you'll do it, the more passion you'll have for it, and that will almost instantly show in your images. So in answer to how did I become a trainer and when did I discover that I was, the answer is I don't know, and I didn't know I was, but after reading your email, maybe I am now a trainer. No, I'm still very much a professional portrait photographer, and I'm clinging on to that because I absolutely love creating images for our clients. Actually, this week, on an aside, I was just talking about packing bags and things, and it reminded me that one of the key things in running a studio, this is for professional photographers, but amateurs as well, is you must look after your kit. We service our lenses reasonably regularly. I mean, once a year they have to go in for a service because they get absolutely battered. I've just spent close to £1,000 on having the three of my core lenses serviced. And of course, when you're spending that kind of money, when you're spending a couple of grand on a lens, it's still better to spend £300 or £400 every year having them serviced than it is to spend £2,000 every 3 years, because they are your lenses are no longer working, or they're not focusing correctly, or they're so full of junk that if you dare get a little bit of light in them from sunlight, or you know, light facing the camera, it just flares like crazy. I had a conversation the other day with someone who said, I have to go and look this up. There's a video out there somewhere where somebody reviewing lenses shows how little difference scratches make to the front element of a lens. And to an extent, they're right, as long as you never have much light coming in from behind your subject. But if you point your subject towards the sun, so if you point your camera towards the sun and you've got scratches in your lens, or you've got dust inside it, trust me, all of that flaring, all of that mushiness and cloudiness that you're going to get, that's because you haven't looked after your lenses and got them cleaned occasionally, or a new front element put on if it's battered. So that's been an interesting thing this week. And the only shame of it is that I dropped one of the newly serviced lenses onto the front of the camera. When I say dropped, I placed one of the newly serviced lenses onto the front of the camera, and it still isn't working. So it's got to go back again. I'm getting a bit frustrated with it now. I think this will be the third time I've had it checked and serviced. There is definitely something wrong with the controller board on this lens, and it's really frustrating. However, luckily, I always carry spares with me, or I'm always close enough to spares. We got that switched out really quickly at the wedding, thanks to Sarah dropping a replacement lens off for me in very short order, and nobody noticed. Right, core topic, error correction, or more importantly, making up for your mistakes. Now, let me tell you a story. One of our clients, beautiful client, beautiful wedding, beautiful pictures, beautiful album, and a beautiful acrylic picture. Now, they asked for a 60 by 40 multi-image acrylic. So this is a huge montage to go on a wall, and it had to be turned around really, really, really quickly for a number of reasons. And so Sarah designed this utterly beautiful, or was it Sarah? It might be me, actually. Designed this really beautiful, big layup of a montage on an acrylic. So I think it had about 80 images on it, which is quite a lot of work to go through one by one by one, placing each image. They're all, of course, different orientations and different cropping ratios. So you can't easily template this. You have to do it individually. Some images are hero images, some images are small images, but they're all to go on this absolutely beautiful big wall montage. Which we did. So we designed it. It took me about 3 hours, I think, to design it. And then another hour or so of very careful checking to make sure there aren't gaps between images that shouldn't be there. None of the images have got stretched, and I've got the right version of each image going through the links list in InDesign. I always do work like this in InDesign. Now, I know there are other options. I could have used Fundy, or there are various other tools to do this. But when I'm doing a big piece like this, I do it almost pixel by pixel. I'm really quite particular about it. And went through, every image was right. I've written a quick script to check that the images don't get stretched. I've got the script also checks that we haven't got any duplicates on there. And the whole thing was just perfect. And we sent it to the client as a JPEG for them to check, and they signed it off. Everything was on there. They loved it. And so we went ahead, and just before ordering, Sarah said to me, are you going to put your signature on it? Now, here, when anything comes back to me, we generally hand sign it. So I'll sit down with a silver pen, we undo the wrapping, or we actually cut through a hole in the wrapping so we don't unwrap the whole thing. And more often than not, I'll sign it. This time, though, because it was going to be delivered directly to the client, I said, don't worry, I'll drop a signature onto it. And I did. I dropped the signature onto it. Now, with hindsight, that turned out to be an error, because lo and behold, when the client got this picture, so this is not a cheap picture to order. It must be about £600-700 for us to order. They went to the client, and I've made a mistake. In the middle of one of the pictures, in the middle of the montage, there's my signature. The signature's correct. It's down in the bottom right where it should be, but there's an additional signature has dropped in and replaced one of the images. Now, I'm not entirely certain how I did it. I'm equally not entirely certain how we missed it. But nonetheless, there it is. She sent me a picture on her iPhone. There it is on the wall. What did we do? Instantly, obviously, we apologized, because it's clearly, clearly a mistake on my part. I've made an error. No questions asked. No need to ask any questions about it. It's not something, I can't see how anybody else could have made an error. I can't see how this has, you know, got, it's been dropped in anywhere other than here at the studio. So it has to be me. So we've instantly gone back. We've said, we're really sorry. So, I mean, unbelievably sorry. Let us get that sorted for you. We'll get a new one ordered today, which we did. So we got the file we created, double-checked it, made sure there's only one signature in there, sent it off to the printer, to the creator of these beautiful acrylics, and got the whole thing reordered and sent directly to the client with our apologies. Please keep the original if you can find a use for it. Who knows? Maybe there's somewhere you might want to use it. I doubt you will, because it's got my signature right in the middle, in which case, feel free to either send it back to us and we'll destroy it, or if you want to destroy it up there, then of course you can. So it's cost me yet another huge amount of money. And my point is this. Whenever you're dealing with errors, whenever you're dealing with problems, you have to assume. Now, in this case, I was the point of error. I was the creator of that error. But even if there'd been doubt, we would have dealt with this exactly the same way. Please, could you just tell us what it is? We'll get it fixed for you as quickly and as efficiently as humanly possible. It doesn't happen often, but when it does happen, we always, always do the same thing. When there's a frame, if there's a fault developed with a frame, maybe sometimes the prints start to ruckle. Even if they've been on a wall for a couple of years, we'll still get it fixed. If thunderbugs, there have been a lot of thunderbugs this year, get inside a frame. If we can, we'll get it repaired. We'll either take it apart ourselves here at the studio, or we take it back to the framer and get them to do it. If a frame colours, or if prints fade, even though we tell people, like everybody, you have to be careful hanging prints or any kind of printed material in somewhere like a conservatory or a lounge where it's going to have a lot of sunlight, you've got to be incredibly careful. My point is, though, that when an error comes in, part of your job as a business is how you correct that error. I've said, and I've said it on podcasts, I've said it in articles, I've said it in seminars, it's very easy, really, to run the business when everything's going well. The sign of a really clever, really smart, really effective business is how you deal with mistakes, how you deal with problems, how you deal with feedback that isn't what you'd like. And of course that happens. You're a business. You're always going to get situations where it hasn't gone quite the way you and or the client would like. I mean, one thing we do here and have always done is guarantee everything. I guarantee the shoot. Why do I guarantee the shoot? Well, that's really straightforward. I tell the client right at the beginning, don't worry, particularly if they're nervous, don't worry. If you don't like the pictures, as long as you can articulate what it is that you'd like to be different, we'll just do the shoot again. It's not a problem. I only ever want beautiful pictures that our clients love to leave this building. Our clients are the most valuable asset I have. The last thing I want out there are stories with clients where the footnote to it or the conclusion to it is, not great customer service. What I want is, if I've made a mistake, if there's an error, what I want the story to be is, yeah, that wasn't right. Hey, but the guys corrected it immediately. Amazing customer service. And there is a school of thought that says the power of the relationship building side of rectifying a mistake well is even more powerful and profound than just doing what they expected, because you go the extra mile, you go beyond what people would expect. People ring you and if there's an error, and I don't know, I mean, certainly when I ring up and I'm going to customer services because there's something wrong with a product I have, I'm expecting them to push back. I'm expecting them to question everything I do. I'm expecting them to say, well, return the product, let's have a look. And wherever I can, wherever it's humanly possible, we don't do that. We simply say, yes, of course, let me fix it for you. The only time we ask for a frame to come back here, for instance, is when I need to know what the error is, because if prints in a frame have maybe warped because they've put them in a bathroom, I want to check that all of the seals are correct. I want to check that everything's done right. And so when we create the replacement, I know that we've fixed it this time once and for all. And so your customer service side, the way you deal with your clients, the way you correct errors is absolutely crucial. And as a footnote to that, and given how much money I just cost my own business, I have to say thank you to Sarah, who was remarkably calm about it, because I've just cost me and her an awful lot of money, and I'm so sorry. So Sarah, if you listen to this, I am very sorry. I do apologize. It was my error. Had the frame come to the studio and we'd done the signature, that wouldn't have happened. But because we were doing it quickly and I made a mistake because I was focused on this corner, then of course the error is mine, and you hate to admit that. You really hate to admit that. But there is nobody else I can look to. And so this problem was my creating. We fixed it, and I'm afraid between the two of us, we've had to eat up the costs. And on that happy note, hope you've enjoyed this podcast. I'm going to go and have, I think, a glass of wine. I quite like a glass of wine tonight. It's Sunday evening. Have some dinner and a chill out. And so until next time, remember, be kind to yourselves. Take care.